Thank you so much, Grace and Andrea. Labor Day weekend, you never know what you'll see at church. Many people head out of town, and some people from out of town come into town, and we're so glad that you're here. And Dave and Debbie, we're glad you're here visiting from Grants Pass. Had the privilege of baptizing you folks some years back. As we get into the Word of God this day, I know that God has a word for you, and that word is good. Let us pray. Father, thank you because you sustain us and supply all of our needs. And we ask, O God, that you will help us to hear what you have to say. We ask that you'll grant us your Spirit, and that we may not only hear with our ears, but hear with our hearts and hear with our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. My father's idols. You know, there's joy in getting a job, maybe even a new job. Amen? But you know, sometimes there could even be joy in leaving a job in which you could be tempted to say, take this job and, yeah, oh my, yeah. Jacob felt that way. Genesis chapter 31. Jacob gives his 2 weeks' notice, so to speak, because he's moving. He is gone. He is so gone. He is sick and tired of what has occurred. The Bible says, Genesis 31, verses 1 and 2, and he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Jacob's tired of all this ill treatment, the lies, the changing of wages, and even more than that, the heading of nowhere quickly. That's where his life was at. Jacob wasn't climbing up the corporate ladder. Laban's not happy with him. Laban's sons aren't happy with him. I think it might be a good time to head on out, verse 3. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, what? Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Interesting. What do these words imply for Jacob? They imply that they have to see Esau. Because isn't that home? All right. Esau, that's his brother, and I know you knew that, but just in case you forgot, that makes Esau family. If this is family, who needs enemies? I mean, last time I checked, Esau's trying to kill Jacob. Could we have even enemies within our own family? Could we have enemies even within our own church family? God is into the details. Can you say amen? It's amazing how specific and God is in each and every one of our lives. He tells Jacob to go where? Go to your father's land. Not just your father's land, go to your family. What God is telling Jacob, you need to go see and face Esau. It is long enough. It's been 20 years. 20 years waiting to make a wrong right. I mean, if it was up to Jacob, he'd probably still be waiting to go back home right now because he didn't want to go. What we do know is that Jacob wasn't heading home until he got the memo. What was the memo? I will be with you. If I'm with Jesus, then I can go wherever he wants me to go. If I'm with Jesus, I can stand up to anybody, doesn't matter who they are. If I'm with Jesus, I can say the words that he wants me to share. Are you with Jesus? If you're looking for the memo, it looks kind of like this. This is the memo. It's the Word of God. When I'm in God's Word, then God speaks to me and he hits me right between the eyes. Jacob's like, Lord, how is it that you want me to go home and face Esau if I can't even stand up to Laban? You see, we worry about tomorrow as if it's the most important thing. Oh, tomorrow is important, don't get me wrong. We should plan and prepare for tomorrow. But it's not about tomorrow. It's about today. It's not about seeing Esau, even though he will be seeing Esau. It's about needing to face and deal with Laban. Dealing with what's right in front of our eyes, God wants us to move forward and deal with that faithfully, because guess what? We might not get tomorrow. Today could be it. As my wife and I and the baby were trying to move forward, I praise God for the spirit of prophecy. Such practical, godly counsel that helps us each and every day as a family. Because family just clicks together 100% of the time and goes wonderfully. Oh, I guess not, huh? Here in verse 4, we find Jacob holding a family meeting. Aren't you glad you get to have family meetings? They're blessings. I mean, Sunday nights, give or take about 7:30 after the baby's fallen asleep, we have a weekly meeting and we talk about all of our appointments throughout the week. That way we know what everybody's doing so that at least we try to plan together and head in the right and the same direction. Jacob holds a family meeting. The Bible says, and Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, and that it's not towards me as before. But the God of my father has been with who? With me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, this ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to moi. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which you leap. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Jacob gathered at the field with his wives and his flocks. He tells them, your daddy's not too happy with me. But that's quite all right. You know why, ladies? Because God is with me. That's why. Is God with you? God has blessed me in spite of how your father has treated me, Rachel and Leah, and I still ended up with better and more healthy and more livestock. Let's rewind. Let's go to verse 11. God speaks in verse 11, and he says, here am I. This is Jacob's response. When God called Abraham, Abraham answered, here am I. When God called Moses out of the burning bush, Moses responded, here am I. When God called little Samuel thinking it was Eli, little Samuel responded, here am I. When God called the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah said, here am I. And today God is calling you and I right here, right now. And is the answer the same? Lord, here am I. Where are you? God's here. We're here too. But do we have a willing disposition to say, Lord, I'm here. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. How many of us here want God to work in our lives more than he ever has today? Amen. Or could it be that God is done working in your life? That all that God needed to do was before you got baptized. And now that you've been baptized, you know, God just has it on cruise control. There's nothing more that God wants to do in my life. No, he's only just begun. Verse 12. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. God tells Jacob, I've seen it all. You don't have to tell me what Laban did or didn't do. I've seen it. And we go through stuff today thinking God doesn't see it. God doesn't know. That maybe God is off somewhere. Maybe God is tired. He's taking a nap. No, he is not only the one who sees. He's the one who acts. Amen. Verse 13, the Bible says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now, arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. God basically tells Jacob, do you remember what happened 20 years ago? Do you remember that one night that you took a rock and put it under your head as a pillow, and you dreamt a dream, and it was a ladder that came down from heaven and reached earth, and angels ascended and descended upon it? Don't forget that, Jacob. Do you remember that moment when you gave your heart to me, when you surrendered your life, you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, that decision, Jacob, it wasn't a fluke. It was real. It was sincere. Your decision to follow Jesus is real, even if you made it 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, or maybe even 60 seconds ago. Your decision to give your life to Jesus is real. In other words, don't forget the one whom you've believed in. He's still going to come through for you. And there's some more good news. Verse 14, the Bible says, and Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, Jacob, you do it. Nothing like sister power. Rachel and Leah, they say, you know what? Dad never gave us our dowry. What was the dowry? The dowry was something that the groom was to give dad if in case he as husband were not to be able to provide for his wife, the wife would be able to sustain herself, and that money would be given to them on wedding day. But here Rachel and Leah are saying, he hasn't given us Jack or Jill. These ladies are saying, Jacob, dad hasn't held up his end of the bargain. God told you to do something, you do it. What a blessing to be able to make decisions together as a family. Even if this family had issues, they still made that decision together. Story continues. Verse 17. And Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. Interesting. The Bible talks about stealing. Specifically, let's start with Rachel. Who's Rachel? Rachel is wife number two. She's the loved wife, not Leah. But didn't she just finish giving Jacob her vote of confidence that whatever God told him to do, they should do it? Okay. So why did she steal her dad's images, her dad's idols? She must have felt as if she couldn't live without them. Maybe she was even bitter that Jacob's God had taken so long to answer her prayer, even though she has one son now. His name is Joseph. But what's one son when you got a whole football team of other sons by other women? Maybe she wasn't ready to make Jacob's God her God. Then Jacob comes on the scene. Jacob didn't tell Laban that he and the rest of the family were leaving. Unless the Bible were to say so, we probably wouldn't be viewing this as stealing, but the Bible calls it stealing. Was it rude? Lack of courtesy? Yes. Stealing, not in our minds, but that's why the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Had Laban done Jacob wrong? Yes, he did. Did Laban love his daughters? Yes, he did. Did Laban love his grandkids? Yes, he did. To leave like as Jacob left, would that hurt? Yes, it would. Purposefully restricting people information that they're needing that allows them to function according to the Bible is sin. That was a new revelation. Verse 21. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And he was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. He sets his faith, the Bible says, about Jacob. This is the Bible's way of saying that Jacob made up his mind. I'm going that way. He not only makes this decision to go, but guess what? He gets there. Sometimes we have lofty dreams of, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, but guess what? Sometimes we do get there and sometimes we don't. But word gets back to Laban where Jacob's at. Jacob's been there for 3 days now, and Laban catches him on day number 7. And I ask myself, what in the world is Jacob doing at Mount Gilead for 7 days? If he's supposedly going home, and he probably has figured out or anticipates that Laban has figured this news out already. So now not only is Esau trying to kill him, but Laban's trying to kill him too. Why would you stay stagnant? Why would you stop moving at Mount Gilead for 7 days? Did he have a timeshare or something? Was it alumni reunion? Was it Labor Day weekend? It's fine that he was there, but for 7 days? I mean, if I knew that somebody was after me, I'd be telling everybody who was traveling with me, keep your arms and legs inside the camel, women and children first, even though there's a whole bunch of them, and you only get down to use the bathroom, and you get back on quickly, and we're moving. That's how I would think, because it's time to go. Verse 21 tells us that he and all that he had crossed over the what? The river. You see, Jacob got baptized. And now that he got baptized, he set his face towards God. He wanted God to be his focus. He's done with the lying, and he's actually done with the stealing, even if he just finished doing that. He goes to Mount Gilead, because he realizes he needs to get up on higher ground. He goes to Gilead because he wants to worship God. He wants to be with God. He goes to Mount Gilead because when you're with God, nobody can touch you. He's up on the mountain. He's at the cross. And he isn't going anywhere. He's staying with God. Jesus. Are you with Jesus? Jesus said, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Even though Jacob's family had grown, Laban's family was even bigger and even stronger. But apparently, Jacob could care less who Laban brought with him. Why? Because he was with Jesus. And when you're with Jesus, you can stand up to anybody. When you're with Jesus, it doesn't matter what people say about you. When you're with Jesus, people can do you wrong and you still come out on top. Are you with Jesus? You see, Jacob's climbing the ladder. He was staying with the ladder. Even if trouble was coming his way, he wasn't letting go of Jesus. Maybe you feel sometimes like singing, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows the pain. A couple weeks ago, Lonnie and Julian came over and we took them out hiking. And we get in the minivan, and they ask us to put on not just music, but they ask for Jesus songs by title and name. And you want to know what was Milani's first request? Her request was, "This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings. And round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought." And the last stanza says, This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Sing with me. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. The rendition that we listened to in the car then had an addition where it says, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. And for her, she didn't sing the song. She just did this. Why? Because she had come to learn that if she's with Jesus, there's peace. If she's with Jesus, it doesn't matter what comes her way, she's going to be okay. But the story continues. Verse 24. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban and his brethren pitched in the mount Gilead. So, Laban and Jacob are sitting in church. And that was going on? They're on Mount Gilead. And I mean, they're sitting together, so to speak, figuratively speaking. And it's so comfortable for Jacob to sit next to Laban. I mean, so comfortable to sit next to Laban. Why? Because he'd rather be with Esau. Jacob was with Jesus. And who had Jacob's back? Jesus did. Jesus talks to Laban and tells Laban, don't mess with Jacob. Isn't that what he told him? Laban got the memo. Okay, fine, God, I won't do anything to him. But the story doesn't end there. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. Here we find Laban's heart revealed. There's two things on Laban's heart. What are they? Number one, his departed family. Number two, his idols. The irony is that for a time, Laban was the best thing since sliced bread for Jacob. Right? Laban was good news as Jacob was running away from his brother, but it was Laban. Laban's own actions that caused Jacob to be willing to return to the one who wanted him dead. I wonder how long Jacob may have stayed there if Laban would have treated him nicely. You know, sometimes we may not be at our best all the time. We say things that could have been said nicer, and then we wonder why people may avoid us. Lessons from Laban. He's at church, Laban that is, and he's worried about his idols. God just spoke to him, and his concern is about the things that don't love him. His concern is about the things that can't do anything for him and lead him away from God rather than to God. Could we be at church and our minds be occupied, preoccupied with our idols? Of course not, Pastor. We would wait until after sundown to be preoccupied with our idols. Whether we're at church or at home or wherever we may be, is our mind preoccupied with an idol? Preoccupied with something or someone who isn't Jesus? Verse 32 and on. The Bible says verse 33, actually. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said unto her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me." And he searched but found not the images. Lo and behold, we have Idolgate. Where are the images? Who had the images? Who had the stolen idols? Rachel had them. Who's Rachel? El amor de mi vida. The love of my life. Unbeknownst to Jacob, she steals her dad's idols and then compounds the issue by lying about it. This was the one whom Jacob worked for how many years? 7 extra years. He thought that there would be nobody in his family that could ever do such a thing. Well, guess again, Jacob. Rachel, "Dad, I can't get up because of my monthly." Whether she was telling the truth or not of what time of month it was, the Bible doesn't tell us, neither the spirit of prophecy. What we do know is that the Bible does say that during this time period, there was not to be any intimacy. I'll tell you what was happening in Rachel's life. A lack of intimacy with God. When we're not close to God, we do and say stuff that just isn't good. Sometimes just flat out wrong. How is our intimacy with God? How is your intimacy with God? How is my intimacy with God? Are we not only doing something wrong, but then lying about it? Maybe not with words, but maybe trying to appear as if maybe we are intimate with God when maybe we're not. Newsflash, we're in the midst of a war over the salvation of our souls. And there is someone who's hunting our tails down, and we think intimacy with God is optional. If you're wrestling with temptation, we have an intimacy issue. If we're wrestling with sin, we have an intimacy with God issue. if your patience with your spouse and other family members is this thick, we have an intimacy with God issue. If you have trouble forgiving others, you know the deal. If you've lost your desire to come to church, it's about what isn't happening with you and Jesus at home every day. If telling others about Jesus doesn't come naturally for us, this is an intimacy with God issue. Are we being intimate with God, church family? Talking to Him every day. Taking time to ask God to bless other people every day. Taking the time with Him in His Word to say, God, help me to understand more of who You are. Are every day are we looking for opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else? You see, I believe that God is going to start doing miracles in this community and in this church when the miracles start happening in my own life. The story continues. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me, whereas thou hast searched all my stuff? What hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it of my hand. Didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night? Thus I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuke thee yesternight." Jacob steps up to the mic. Jacob speaks his piece. "You claim I stole from you, Laban? I worked for you 14 plus 6 to get all that I have. And if I had waited for you to send me off the right way, I'd still be waiting right now. But God has blessed me and rebuked you last night. Why did God rebuke you? Because God's got my back. That's why. Why would God have Jacob's back? Because Jacob wouldn't let go of God. Why wouldn't Jacob let go of God? Because he's all he really had. What do you have? A couple weeks ago, I was getting my hair cut, and we were talking about this, what we have and what we don't have. We think we got stuff, but in a moment like that, it can be gone. What do we really have? God can take it. God can give it. The only thing we really have that is worth having is God. Verse 43 and on. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children. These cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children which they have borne? Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee." And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar, and Jacob said unto his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made an heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed, and Mitzpah, for he said, "The Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee." And Laban said to Jacob, "Behold this heap, and behold this pillar which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount, and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread, and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. Laban hunts Jacob down on Mount Gilead, ready to give to him what's coming to him, and God intervenes. God stops Laban dead in his tracks. Laban has all of his boys, all of his reinforcements, and he's defenseless. And he realizes something. I can't do a thing to Jacob. Better yet, he now starts to sweat bullets. Why? Because what if Jacob were to seek retribution? If God just told me don't touch him, and God is with him, and the light goes on very quick for Laban, for he realizes that God is with Jacob, and he realizes he will never be victorious over Jacob as long as Jacob stays with God. So Laban figures, if you can't beat him, join him. He tells Jacob, "Don't do me any wrong." And to make it official, he makes a covenant with Jacob. And this covenant would be a witness for their actions. Jacob takes the first stone and he sets it up. And he tells Laban's brothers to get to business and help him too. Laban can't even tell his brothers to help out. Why? Because this is spiritual leadership. To do the things of God, you got to be with God. Laban wasn't about to do that. The heap was a witness? Maybe. Did the heap have eyes to see and ears to hear? No. Maybe he thought that it was like one of those idols that was missing mysteriously. The pile of rocks simply reminded them that they had made a decision, but who is the one who watches over you and I? The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. And the Holy Spirit even gives us a personal invitation today. It looks like this. It's the next verse. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Laban had sought to seek to save his face. Laban tells Jacob what according to this covenant he should and shouldn't be doing. But what's interesting is that Jacob doesn't even waste one breath in telling Laban what he will and won't be doing. It's almost as if Jacob saw the invisible. Psalms 14 verse 2 says, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." Proverbs says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths." Jacob just needed to keep on seeking the Lord, and he knew he wouldn't be doing Laban any wrong. Isn't it the same with us? The moment we stop seeking God, we'll seek to make ourselves happy, but typically at somebody else's expense. Jacob sacrifices on the mount. He eats bread, but not by himself. He gives the bread to Laban's brothers, and they fellowship together. Jacob knew that there could only be one who would pay for his sins. He trusted in the one who would climb onto another mount. He realized that he needed food to bring about the satisfying of his soul, the Word of God. Our fellowship meal will be sustaining us for just a short period of time. But the Word of God will be sustaining you when you need it most. Laban swears by everybody else's God, but God never became his God. He talks about Abraham's God, even Nahor's God, Isaac's God, Jacob's God, but what about Laban's God? Maybe your God today is somebody else's God. Oh, I'm here, Pastor, because my spouse wanted me to come. Oh, I'm here because my parents wanted me to come. I'm here because my grandparents wanted me to come. Are you here because God is your God? If he isn't, why don't you invite him to be your God today? Jacob had for many years something separating him from God. Lies. Why is this chapter so important in the Bible? Because this is part of Jacob's going home. We sing the song, in a little while we're going home. When someone's terminally ill, the doctor says, get your matters in order. Jacob had a life-changing experience in coming to meet a Savior, and now he's following through and removing anything that was getting in between him and God, even removing anything in between him and other people, so that he can be right with them as well. Could there be something getting in the way of our intimacy with God? Maybe it's time we stop sitting on it. We know it needs to go. It sure is uncomfortable sitting on it, but yet it stays parked. Jacob wanted to climb higher in this ladder. Jacob made up his mind, and so did Rachel. But today I'm not too concerned about Jacob or Rachel. I'm concerned about us. Jacob looked to the one who can make things right. Jacob looked the one who can protect him when he had no one else. Jacob looked to the one who can feed him the bread of life. I don't know about you, but I want to trust in that God. How about you? In a little while, we are going home. Is there something that needs to be removed? May there be nothing between us and the Savior today.
Let us stand as we turn to hymn 322, Nothing Between.
Father, thank you for the promise of the soon return of Christ, the event of all events. And today we prepare for that event by dealing with what's right in front of us. I ask, O God, that your Spirit may convict our hearts, that your Spirit may move us to make the decisions that you promised to give us strength to make. Thank you, O God, because if we're with you, we have everything we need. Help us to trust you. Help us to move forward by faith. As soon we shall see Jesus, may we and our homes be found ready for that day. In Jesus' name, amen.